Welcome to Muskie Talk Monday on Team Rhino Outdoors Muskie Fishing Podcast. This week I'm going to talk to Jake Nelson, Flambeau Forest Outfitters, Lake X, Elk River. He's a man of many hats. He's involved with all those things, and we're going to learn a little bit about all of it this week. Talk a little bit. I mean, the update on Lake X is, you know, people are wondering what's going on with them, and are they still in business and things like that. And we'll answer all those questions on this episode. And then, we're going to go down the Elk River thing, because Elk River is a new, they're not new rod company. They're a new rod company to us. And they've been around for a while. You know, we carried some of their stuff, or listed some of their stuff on our website probably, 4 or 5 years ago. And you know, they're back, you know, and for good reason. They're great rods, another great option. And we're looking to add more and more of that stuff as we move forward. We're looking to be your one-stop muskie fishing destination for all the gear that you need to catch muskies. And at this point, though, we still understand we have work to do. So, you know, putting on our tool belt, and which I know I'm familiar with the tool belt. And so we're putting on our tool belt and we're getting to work. And, you know, we won't stop until we are that one-stop muskie fishing destination. So that's kind of what's on tap for this week's muskie episode. Just talking gear. That's what we do on this podcast. I've said it before, if you're looking for to break down new water and talk to the latest and greatest of guides and what's going on in the water, we'll talk that on Backlash Podcast, which I do with my friends Brad and Carrie from Muskie Mayhem Tackle. And we do that one every single Wednesday. And you can find it on all these same platforms that you find this podcast. And, you know, but moving forward this summer, I certainly plan to continue to put out episodes of this podcast. And what we'll do is we'll talk about what's working on the water, what baits are working. But it's still going to be revolving mostly around gear. We'll talk to, you know, the guides on gear-wise, what's working. I won't necessarily break down, you know, which weed beds or how deep they are or whatever. We'll just talk about, you know, what's putting fish in the net. And then, so that's kind of how that's going to roll moving forward. I hope to make this a continual thing. I don't even know. I think this is probably week 6, 7 that I've put a podcast out in a row, which I've never done before on this podcast. So it's exciting times for the Team Rhino Outdoors Muskie Fishing Podcast. You know, if you like us, tell a friend, you know, let people know that this is something that we're doing. Just a little bit different, shorter episodes. You know, most episodes are somewhere between 20 minutes and 40 minutes. So if you're, you know, doing a quick workout, you know, pop one of these episodes on and listen to it during your weekly workout or your daily workout or however you want to go about doing that. And it, again, you know, if you're looking for gear for your next muskie fishing adventure, make sure you check out teamrhinooutdoors.com. We, you know, I talked about it earlier, we're continuing to push the boundaries as far as how much inventory we've had. And, you know, it's springtime, so we're gearing up, right? I mean, many seasons are just around the corner. The southern Wisconsin season, I think by the time you hear this, is only roughly 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks at the most out. And so, you know, it's coming quick. April is the last month you have to try to put those final touches on your boats and your gear and make sure that things are in tip-top shape before we get cranking. So it's pretty cool, exciting times for muskie anglers as everybody looks forward to a new season. But anyways, I'm going to go dial up my conversation I just had with Jake Nelson. My guest this week is Jake Nelson, Flambeau Forest Outfitters and Lake X Lures. I know Jake isn't necessarily like the owner of Lake X, but Jake, you're very instrumental in what comes out of the Lake X shop these days, from what I understand. And thank you for coming on today.
Hi, Jeff. And yeah, thank you very much. We do as much as we can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously we all know like your Lake X is a small business, family ran business, friend ran business, essentially, because I'm assuming that you're not related to John, but you're, you know, involved in his operation. And, you know, like sometimes priorities change and things shift a little bit. So, you know, I just want to have you on. First of all, we'll talk a little bit about Lake X today. We'll talk a little bit about Elk River because you're involved in that as well. But first, Jake, before we go down any of those roads, let's talk a little bit about Flambeau Forest Outfitters. Why don't you give us a quick, you know, introduction to that? Because not only are you into muskies, but you're also into some hunting stuff too.
Yeah, I've had Flambeau Forest Outfitters since 2003 and basically started muskie fishing started out guiding muskies and then got into bear hunting. We don't really do a whole lot of that anymore, but one of our bigger things is upland bird hunting too. So it's kind of in the area that we live in. It's just, it's a, you know, we're in the grouse capital of the world here, and and people from all over the world and all over the U.S. come to hunt with us.
And if people are listening to this podcast and they're into hunting, well, how do they go about getting in touch with you or learning more about what you have to offer?
I guess the best way to get a hold of me is on Facebook Messenger, or a lot of people just text me, which I'll give you my phone number later, but we're in the middle of nowhere here. So cell service is terrible and it's hard to get back to people right away. And that's kind of the way it goes, I guess, living in the North.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So if you're on Facebook, check out Jake Nelson and he can get you in the rotation probably to go shoot some stuff this year. Are you doing any guiding for muskies yet? Or are you opening for muskies?
Yep. So basically a lot of people know John Carlson, John Kolcheski, and me. We do tons and tons of group trips throughout the summer. And then I've got a clientele that I've had since, you know, basically day one that just, you know, got a great group of guys, and we kind of stay a little low on the radar and just have a great time.
Right. All right. Well, let's talk about it. I've heard the rumors on Facebook. You know, we kind of addressed it slightly in the beginning there on Lake X lures. What's the latest on Lake X? Because, you know, they've been, I guess, hard to find, but I didn't seem to be overly concerned by it. I didn't even think once that anybody would think that you guys were out of business, because, you know, you run the guide service, right? And that's kind of what you guys do to fill the summertime. And then you build fishing lures in the wintertime. And then it seems like once May or whatever, late May comes rolling around, you guys are back on the water. And, you know, fishing lure production kind of slows down until the following season. So, like, when I saw sold out everywhere, I didn't necessarily even question it at all. What's going on with Lake X?
We're working. We're always working throughout the winter, sometimes 7 days a week. There's three of us, basically. It's very small business still. You know, just trying to do as much as we can and still make a great product. And we are getting baits out to retailers right now and hopefully a bunch more here in the near future.
And, you know, let's talk a little bit about that, Jake. You said, you know, you're still a small business and you guys hand tune, hand touch these things, hand paint them. I mean, they're not coming off an assembly line over in China. So, like, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's basically three people that touch every single one of them. We still, to this day, hand tune every single one when they're done, which is, if you can imagine, 2,000 baits sitting on a rack and tuning every one of them, that takes some time. So, but the good thing about that is the same three people make the baits, and hopefully you're going to get some really, really good consistency out of that.
Yes, absolutely. And it, you know, it seems like it doesn't, you know, sometimes you get that bait and it's like that one is the one, right? But it seems like with, you know, Lake X lures, especially, I mean, super popular Fat Bastard, they all sound the same, they all run, and that's due to that tuning process that you're talking about.
Absolutely. And you know, we put a ton of pride into building every one of them, and you know, there's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears through the years getting them done in time for shows, getting them out to dealers. And honestly, John and I have been guides forever, and we don't want to let that part of our lives go. Being out on the water makes us, you know, better in the shop. It helps us build new things. It helps us think about things. That's kind of our attitude towards it.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about all that is, you know, it's, like you said, it's still a family ran business. It's still a very, you know, a personal thing for you guys, but let's talk about the early days of Lake X. I remember, you know, going to a show. I was at the show, same as you guys were. The one I think about is the Minnesota show. John shows up and he's got these topwater baits. And at the time, they seemed quite a bit bigger, especially when you got to like the Cannonball Junior and the Cannonball. The Cannonball seemed ridiculous at the time. And he's offering up 100 pack of these, or a 4 pack of these things for $100. Like at that point, did any of you guys ever think that the Lake X craze would get to where it was in, say, I don't know, what was that, 2016, 2017, 2018 is the area?
No, we were just fishermen. it was nuts. And, you know, I think that, you know, social media did a lot of that. It was kind of the beginning of those days. We really got rocking.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. Like I said, the first time I saw a Cannonball, I was like, you know, I'm sure you guys got some unbelievable comments on it, you know, like, nothing's ever going to eat that, you know, why are you guys throwing footballs? I'm sure there was just a bunch of different thought processes behind it.
Yep. Yeah, and lo and behold, look at all the people in Minnesota throwing those things these days. And we still don't make a ton of them, but it's kind of a vicious little animal when the crazy topwater bite happens, you know, throughout July and August.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is like your average angler is not throwing that thing, I don't feel.
No. But honestly, it, you know, with today's equipment, it's not that hard to throw big stuff.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, whatever rod and, you know, reel combination you're using to throw big rubber, I'm sure you could throw a cannonball, no problem.
Yep. Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet it comes in a lot easier than a pound or two.
Yes, sir. Yep. It stays on top.
All right. We're talking about the biggest bait in the lineup. Let's talk a little bit about the smallest bait in the lineup, because you are the one that tells me all the time about the little bee, little bastard. And I think it's BASS, and that is because it's a multi-species bait. But a lot of musky anglers, I think, overlook it for big fish, and you've caught an awful lot of big fish. What is it about the little bee you like so much?
Well, I mean, we spent probably 2 years getting it going, and it wasn't a very fun bait to get perfect. So, but the testing on it, when we finally got it rolling, it was made for bass, and I mean, it's amazing what the bass do when they eat it. It's kind of like a musk eating a cannonball. They just annihilate it. But in the meantime, we started catching muskies on it, and it was incredible. They just come up, suck it down, and they're all over it. It's kind of like the small bucktail bite. It's kind of the same thing.
You know, in like, let's just say, let's talk about speed of retrieval. Are you retrieving this thing faster for muskies, or pretty much, like a moderate retrieve?
Just a very steady retrieve. You could slow them down too at night, but you know, just a medium retrieve on it. Just get that nice pop going, and you can have, obviously, like our other baits, you can put a split ring on it and make it a ticker. And the muskies have been all over that. I had the first prototype that I had in my boat, just one bait, caught 28 muskies in one summer.
It's not a bad summer. I mean, that's a lot more than most people are catching on all their baits.
Yeah, and it's awesome. I mean, I'm a Elk River guy, and we have a 7.9 hybrid X heavy. It's like a you know, big bass type rod / small musky bait rod, and it's awesome. I mean, people in the boat, they love throwing it because it's so, you know, you don't kill yourself all day throwing big stuff.
Right. I think if I get on the stick over here, I actually have that bait that we'll be adding on our or that rod on our website here any day. That's, now.
I mean, I always have two, sometimes three of those rods in the boat because, you know, especially after a long day of throwing big stuff, they like throwing small topwater.
Well, we'll transition over to the Elk River stuff because I know you're heavily involved in that as well. But let's finish up our talk about the little bee. You know, as sure. Far as like leader material, will that change performance of it? Can I pretty much throw this on, you know, if I have a 8-foot heavy musky rod, can I use that as well? Let's talk a little bit about that.
You can use it. We like to use like a small 6-inch leader and bring it back to the boat. You know, try to keep some of your line out of the water. You'll just mess with your rod angle a little bit and you'll be able to tell where your sound is.
I've always been told that, and I can't say that I play with it that much. I've quite honestly, I have so much success with the fat bee that I don't go back to the little bee that often. But
And don't be afraid to throw it in the spring. That's a great spring bait. You know, Dr. Evil is too, but you know, we have lots of flow edge type stuff around here in rivers, and it literally catches everything.
You know, one quick question on Lake X stuff. So you have the Little Bee, the Dr. Evil, the Fat Bee, Cannonball Jr., and Cannonball. Like, is there a time and place that, like, is there certain conditions you're looking for where you're going to throw one over the other? Like, what's your thought process on that? Because obviously you have access to all of them, so I'm sure you have some of them in your boat at all times. Like, how do you decide which day you're picking up a Cannonball Jr. over a Fat Bee?
If I see aggressiveness in any type of fish, then we're putting big stuff on, because then you have that chance of getting the big one going.
All right.
And, you know, if they're lazy follows on a Cannonball Junior or a Fat Bastard, keep downsizing. Or start throwing rubber. We make a lot of that, too.
Yes, you do, which we didn't talk about. But, you know, the toad is I don't want to call it a staple yet, but it's actually kind of like an underutilized tool, I would imagine. Like, let's talk about it for a minute. And we don't have any in stock right now, or very few, but we will be getting some, I'm assuming, at some point. But how do people work this?
So it's not, I mean, you're not ripping rubber with this thing. It's more of a soft popping pull on it. Like, you imagine a steering wheel, you want to go from 10 to 2. So you're pulling it from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. So it's more of an up hopping motion. And honestly, if you get tired throwing it, you're working it too hard.
Okay, that's fair. So it's not like, you know, a lot of guys, they like to, anglers, I should say, they like to, you know, rip bulldogs. And they'll make the pull from, what, like 9 to 3, you know? Pretty long, aggressive pulls. This is not long, aggressive pulls.
No, and it's super, you know, don't wear yourself out. You're working it too hard. So, ice guys, put some weight on it. Let her go. Let her go down there. Get down on their faces a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots of cool tools from Lake X Lures. It's good to hear that you guys will have retailers uploaded again. So, you know, people have their favorite baits for this upcoming season, for places they have seasons. Otherwise, you know, and we do have a handful of Lake X Lures online right now. We've gotten some topwaters from you guys in the last 2 weeks, so we're not completely empty. So if you're looking for a few topwater baits right now, we have them. Hopefully, if things work out well, we'll have some custom colors getting restocked at some point yet this spring. But, all right, Jake, moving on. Let's talk a little bit about Elk River. You know, I would say it's a common name for many musky anglers, but it's not a household name. It's not St. Croix, right? And let's talk a little bit about what makes Elk River special.
Elk River has been in business for 16 years now, I believe, and I've been with them for 12. And, you know, Elk River is kind of a very similar story to Lake X, where Mark Maroney is the owner, and he's brilliant. He's a great rod builder and other things that people don't know about. And, you know, all same type of deal. Three people touch the rods, and if you got a problem with it, he built it and he's going to make it right.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's in, you know, everything's built up there again in the Northwoods of Wisconsin.
Yeah. It's kind of neat. We have Elk River. We have Lake X here. We have Ross's Sport Shop and all kinds of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But, and with the Elk River stuff, obviously you could, you know, we're starting to get some of them online here, but you can also stop into the store up there in Phillips, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yep. We're right on Highway 13 as you're just getting out of town on the north end of it. And you open Tuesday through Saturday, I believe, are the hours right now.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, we're really pumped to have you guys on board, and it's just a great rod company with, you know, really good people all around it. So,
right. You know, if people aren't familiar with Elk River, not only do you do musky rods, but you guys have rods for every species.
Absolutely. Yep. There's three different lines of mostly walleye and panfish. There's some bass stuff, but it's kind of our bread and butter. They've really taken off here in the last 7 or 8 years and kind of go all over the place now. So it's pretty neat.
Well, it sounds like at the recent Wisconsin Muskie Expo, you guys had no troubles moving a bunch of rods. So it's great to see the support for, you know, small Wisconsin based companies as well.
Yeah. And it's so neat to see it, because the early days we'd go to, you know, like the Chicago Muskie Show or some of the other big multi-species shows and just, you know, trying to just show people the rod to get it in their hands. And now, you know, 10 years later, it's pretty neat what's people have been using them, and they've got such a good reputation that it's not very hard to move them anymore.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the musky rod lineup. I know you guys have a few different styles out there. Like, what's a good all around musky rod, you know, in the Elk River lineup?
I would say the 8.6 heavy is kind of our go-to. I'd say that's, you know, 75% of the musky fishermen, they have one of them in their boat or more than that. If you like a longer rod, then it'd be the 9-foot heavy. So that'd be your go-to all around rods. And then we also have, you know, all the other niche type stuff too.
Sure. You know, like,
which,
you were talking about throwing toads. Like, would be the 8.6 heavy, would that be a good one for throwing like the regular size toad?
Yep, for sure. That's a great rod for that. Yep.
And then obviously you mentioned what you were throwing little bees on, so we'll have that one on our website as well. I believe the 8.6 heavy is one that I will as well. This one's going to come out tomorrow morning. It's Sunday again. And so, I won't have these probably uploaded by that time, but soon. We've been working on it. We got a lot of products in the store at the same time. So we're working through all that. And the Elk River stuff is high on my priority list to make sure that it's available to consumers here real soon. And right as of right now, we just have the trolling rods listed, which, let's talk about those. If you're into trolling, that's a great, it looks like a phenomenal rod.
It is. It's a glass hybrid rod. And if you want to pull a board with a headlock on it, no problem. If you want to use it as a sucker rod in the fall, don't be afraid to put the screws to it in November. It's bulletproof. It's super fun to have in the boat for sure.
Yeah. And with that, like you said, that hybrid rod, you're not having to worry about it exploding in your hands on the hook set in the cold weather of fall.
Yes, and it's got a very soft tip on it, so not only can you tell how your cranks are running, but in the fall with suckers, if you hit one little piece of weed on it, you can tell by the way that rod is moving.
That's incredible. Yeah, I love playing around with different rods. I know I'm going to have a few of them in my boat at some point here this season as well. I'm always like playing with new toys we get in the shop. I think it's one of my weaknesses, right? It's like kryptonite,
Right.
I'm always enticed by new stuff, and I just like playing around with it. Plus, when customers, they ask me, what I think about this or what I think about that, it's always good to have, I have had my hands on it. I could tell you exactly what I think of it versus me going like, I've heard this about it. I can give you my honest feedback on it.
Absolutely. For sure. Yeah, so we have a 7.6 jerkbait rod, and so we still like to make that shorter rod. For me, fishing a lot of the flowagey type stuff and doing a lot of sight fishing in 2 feet of water, I like having that short rod still. We have a 7.11, that's another rod I would consider more of a jerkbait rod, but you can use it for basically everything. Then the 8.6 we talked about, and then the 9-footer heavy, extra heavy, and then we also have the telescopics, which have really been a big deal here in the last, 4 to 5 years. And it seems like they're, for a while they're all telescopic rods people were having problems with. And I feel like we have something now that is pretty awesome. You know, throw it right in your truck if you're going to go fish with your friend. And, I fish the, a zillion hours on them, and I absolutely love them. So,
The other thing too about telescopic rods is, everybody, a lot in the beginning, people weren't, they were like, I don't know if I like that. But nowadays, if you're living outside of the speedy zone, whether it be, speedy zone is Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, and then there's a few patchy spots in between there. If you live outside of there, you can't get a one piece rod shipped to you for a reasonable price. Like a one piece rod that's over 8 feet to, let's just say, Pennsylvania is $140. That's just incredible how expensive shipping of the rods has gotten. So therefore, anglers have had to adapt to that telescopic rod because that's what they can get for a reasonable price. Very few people want to pay $140 additional on top of a rod to get it shipped for a one piece rod. Most of them are like, yeah, I think I can handle the telescopic. And they've come a long ways in the last handful of years, like you had mentioned.
Yeah. And that shipping part, that's a sad deal because of course we want people to have 10 footers and 9.6s, and everybody wants a 10-foot, or lots of people want a 10-foot rod, but that's, unless you're going to drive from Pennsylvania to Team Rhino or Elk River, that's kind of out of the question.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you that. Is that a trend that you are, we hear about it all the time, longer rods, but when I go to shows, I try to talk to customers, they're like, which rod do you think you'd recommend? And a lot of times I'm using stuff that's 8.6, 9 foot, 9.6 even. And, they're like, nope, that's too that's too long. I don't want to do that. I'm still looking at eight foot and under type rods. So like we hear a lot about long rods, but is that still the trend? I mean, are many anglers choosing the longest rod in a lot of instances, or are you still selling a lot of stuff that's, you know, in that 8 foot range?
8'6" all 8'6" is like the king for us. You go to a different state, it's a little bit different. You know, Minnesota, they like to have longer rod for a lot of their stuff. You know, it all kinds of kind of depends on the areas that you're in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I was wondering about that, if it was more geographical, you know, state by state type of a thing. You know, the Minnesota anglers, I think it's also kind of a part of what they throw too. I mean, I've done reports before on when we go to a show in an area, Minnesota's one particular. I mean, I look in that stuff and I go, they're heavy, heavy into big rubber and blades. So for, you know, longer rods, I would imagine it probably lends itself right into that. Perfect for throwing, you know, blades and big rubber. Whereas like you go to Wisconsin and, you know, we're not, yeah, we throw a lot of rubber and we throw a lot of blades, but we also throw a lot of topwaters. We also throw a lot of jerk baits. So there's, you know, I think some of it's based off of what the angler is using as far as the baits are concerned too. And that's probably why they lean towards longer rods in Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they, you know, they've got such big water that, you know, you're going down a weed line for a mile, and it's not as much pinpoint casting with that. They're just trying to bomb cast a lot of stuff, and it's sometimes it's easier to fish a rod and a bigger boat.
Yeah, exactly. The bigger boat thing's probably one of them as well. I mean, we do a big water in Wisconsin, but for the most part, if you had a, you know, 16 foot deep V aluminum boat, you can handle it on a lot of the water that we have here in Wisconsin. Obviously, you'd have to really watch your the weather if you're taking that on in Green Bay. I've taken mine. I have, you know, a 8'6" Lund Fury XL, and there's times I just don't want to take out my Tuffy out to Green Bay. It's like everything's loaded in the Lund already. I'm like, I might as well just take that. And I mean, you can do it. You just got to pay attention to what you're doing there. You do, like, if the wind shifts or things start looking crabby, you better bail fast.
Absolutely. Yep. I have a 619 Ranger, and I think I have more fun fishing in my 16 foot flat bottom.
Well, it's like, you know, early days. I shouldn't say early days. Like, I had a Ranger 619 as well, and I used to do that. But then, all right, before I sold it, I had, because some of the landings I was fishing up in northern Wisconsin, I couldn't get that boat into it. It was just the landings were too crappy. And so I had a guy, what was that? Like a 15 foot Tuffy. It's like a Esox Magnum, but it wasn't the Magnum. It was a Roustabout or whatever the heck it was. And I'm like, I put more fish in that boat than I do my 619. Like, why do I even have the 619 around? I'm playing around in this thing all the time, just on smaller bodies of water. And I didn't care what I took it into. I beat the crap out of it because it didn't matter to me. I wasn't worried about it. Rivers and all sorts of stuff. You just let her chew and see what happens.
Absolutely. We got so much gravel that... Taking the flat bottom down the gravel road doesn't hurt as much as glass.
Absolutely. All right, Jake. Well, I think we covered most of what we intended to cover tonight. We got a good background on Lake X and what they're up to. Introduction into Elk River rods. You know, once again, for people that are looking to get in touch with you, watch cover. I mean, I'm assuming Lake X is still putting stuff out on social, and Elk River's got social media as well. And then, do you have any social media for your Flambeau Forest Outfitters?
Yep, I've got a Facebook page, Flambeau Forest Outfitters, and then Elk River's got Elk River Custom Rods, their website there, and the best way to get a hold of me is Facebook Messenger, or my phone number is 715-820-3156.
Awesome. Well, Jake, I want to thank you for taking time out of your Sunday afternoon. I know you unfortunately watched Iowa girls lose today, and it was disappointing. I know. I feel for the people of Iowa. My life will continue on, but anyways, fun game, fun season to watch. I mean, the incredible talent on both sides of the court today. But I want to thank you for taking time out of your Sunday to talk fishing with me. And I hope that you have yourself a unbelievable season. I'm sure we'll be in touch. And I want to thank our listeners again for tuning in to another episode of our podcast. And we'll be out with a new one again next week, Monday.
Awesome. Yeah, you guys, I appreciate it. And have a good season also.
Thanks, Jake.